Good morning. I'm Tom Lepner and a part of the elder team, and we have Russell Kinnebrew who will be preaching this morning, so keep him in your thoughts, prayers this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for the reminder in this song that you are good. Certainly we could think of one thing this week, one thing today, one thing this month that you have demonstrated your goodness toward us. And if that we just need to be reminded of salvation that we have been able to partake in as a result of your redemption of our sins, Lord, let's be reminded of that goodness toward us. Thank you for the goodness of your word. We pray that as it is preached this morning through Brother Russell, and as we proclaim your goodness through the singing of songs, we pray that we would be reminded today of your goodness, and as we fulfill your commission this week and commit to following you, that we would see how much goodness there is out there as a result of our Savior and that which you've bestowed on us. So we look forward to spending time together today, whether virtually or in person. And again, we look forward to this week, what you have in store for us. Certainly there'll be challenges and some disappointments, but bring back these words to this song where you've given us a new song, and that would be, you are good. Thank you, Lord, for this message and for your goodness toward us. In your son's name, amen. So this morning, I have some announcements for us. Certainly, you can view the bulletin. There are some outside of the sanctuary here that you can take home with you. I'm just gonna briefly review some of these. We do have the new live stream link. There's a home link that you could save that to on your browser. And I think one of the more important things in here just to be reminded of is Pastor Adam Wolfgang and his wife Stephanie. We have a couple dates coming up that they are involved with. First of all, their move-in. We have some items. The offices actually sent out through an email some larger items that they'll be in need of, couch, etc. If you'd like to be reminded of what those items are, please contact the office. But then there's also the move-in date of April 19th. And I think there's about a 4, 5, 6 hour period. So if you're able to come help for just a little bit of time, that would be helpful. Please communicate that with the office too. And then, did I say April 19th? Yes. Okay. And then his first worship service with us is April 25th. So just be encouraging toward Adam and his wife as they're traveling and becoming part of our family here at Weymouth Community Church, and be in prayer for them. Okay. They had recently just experienced the loss of or miscarriage from his son and his daughter-in-law. So just be in prayer for them as they make that transition up here to help us find a new pastor, and as he becomes our interim pastor. There's some announcements in here about Children's Church, the toddler and nursery, Wednesday night prayer meeting, Sunday school classes, the youth and parents of youth, the adult Sunday school. We're moving into Acts chapter 6, so if you'd like to read ahead for next week and join us either virtually or in person, Acts number 6. We have information on Disciple Group on Tuesdays, 6 a.m., with the virtual option. And let's see, if you have any prayers, of course, contact the office to be able to add that, your prayer requests or praises to that list. That's all the announcements. So I think next on our list, we're going to move into our worship the King's Song. So thank you. And if you have any questions about anything or you need to speak to anybody afterwards, I'll be up front here on the, your right if you'd like to talk. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, you may be seated. See how to begin. Just as the fill-in, as I usually do, is filling in. I give thanks to the elders for this opportunity, or just give thanks to you for listening to my rambling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious love to us. We just lift our hearts up to you. Lord, as we look at your sovereignty over us, Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you are who you are. Lord, at your matchless grace and the majesty that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The adventure I selected last summer with my retirement was to start a study on the attributes of God. This is to fill in that extra time that I thought I would have. The idea was to bring a deeper intimacy in my walk with God. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In this priestly prayer, Jesus is telling us that knowing and experiencing God, the Father, and Jesus, God the Son, is eternal life. That is life. Knowing and experiencing him is life. Knowing God and knowing his character, knowing his attributes, gets to know him better. And to know him better and better and better brings that intimacy. Jeremiah 29:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. To know him, to know who he is, to know his justice, his righteousness, knowing him and understanding that. In God's word, he reveals himself to us. So that the adventure I started on this past summer was to study God's word and focus on his attributes. my desire for a deeper walk in relationship with God is more than just having more information about God, but to know in the sense of experiencing God more intimately. My desire is to be better able to see things that I may be experiencing from his perspective. A lot of things are happening around us, around me, and I want to be better able to see those things and experience those things from his perspective. Hosea 6:3, it says, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. I think here Hosea talks about the pressing on to know God. That's active. Hosea is talking about making a serious effort with all your heart, and God will respond by revealing himself, that striving, that pressing on. And God will reveal himself. My finite mind can't begin to understand and absorb the information about God unless God shows himself to me, unless his Holy Spirit opens my heart and shows me who he is. It is not anything that I can do on my own. For today, I wanted to take a partial look at the sovereignty of God to help us remember who's in control. Nelson, New Illustrated Bible Dictionary, from my limited resource. It defines sovereignty of God as a theological term that refers to the unlimited power who has sovereign control over the affairs of nature and history. We've seen God interact or act upon nature outside what we normally think of nature. And we've seen God act in history outside of what we normally think as happening in history, although we are repeating it continually. Webster, supreme power, especially over a domain. Supreme power, especially over a domain. Freedom from external control, autonomous state. We know that God, there's nothing outside of God that influences God to do what he's going to do. He is autonomous. God's sovereignty is closely intertwined with his supremacy. He is supreme. He is over all and has control over all. And he is sovereignly making decisions about what is happening there. Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted ahead above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. God is the supreme ruler over all his creation. He directs all according to his will and his pleasure. The song praises God for his sovereignty over the situation. And all are responsible to him. All are accountable to him. And all he does is right. Exodus 15, verse 18. The Lord will reign forever and ever. This verse is after a song of Moses, after the experience at the Red Sea, where all of the Egyptian army is defeated. And God will reign forever and ever. So a song of praising him for what he has done. He has sovereignty over all situations. And we have to remember, all that he does is right. In that fictitious galaxy far, far away, Darth Sidious manipulated himself into the position of supreme ruler of the galaxy. In the real world, God is supreme ruler over all creation. He directs all according to his will and pleasure. All are responsible, accountable to him. God directs everything according to the counsel of his will. All that he does is right. God is God in fact, as well as in name. God is God. 1 Chronicles 29 again, 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom. O Lord, you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. You rule over all. In your hand are power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. God does whatever he pleases. In heaven, in the seas, and on earth. Whatever he pleases, he does. From his position of supremacy, God is above all. He directs all. He is working in all. He is independent of all. Let me say it again. He directs all according to his will and pleasure. All are responsible to him, accountable to him. All that he does is right. Sometimes it's not my right. Sometimes I think I would have done that a different way. But all that he does is right. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says this: there is no attribute more comforting to his children than that of God's sovereignty. Under most adverse circumstances, in the most severe trials, they believe that the sovereignty has ordained their afflictions. That sovereignty overrules them. That sovereignty will sanctify them all. There is nothing for which the children ought more earnestly to contend than the doctrine of their master over all creation. The kingship of God over all the works of his hands, the throne of God and his right to sit upon that throne. As believers, all adverse circumstances, all circumstances are ordained by God. He overrules all. He has sanctified them all. And all that he does is right. We see that God does whatever he pleases in accordance with his will and character. in the creation of man, it pleased God to place Adam in the garden and in the world with responsibility to obey and follow his directions. God also gave mankind the freedom to choose to obey or not. So Adam is placed in that garden, and he is given instructions. This fruit you can eat, this fruit you should not eat. It was at his pleasure, his will, to give man that responsibility. It was at his pleasure and in his will to give him the freedom to make those choices, to obey or not to obey. And all that he does is right. God also gave mankind the freedom to obey or not. In God's sovereignty, he provided blessings for obedience and wrath or judgment for disobedience. When he placed Adam in the garden, he says, you'll continue to be blessed and fruitful, and if you do this, if you eat this one, you will die. So there's blessings for obedience, and there's judgment for disobedience. And Adam has that choice, and we have that choice. And all that he does is right. God has also empowered mankind by giving him a choice, but there's consequences for those choices. So having those choices has empowered us. Mankind's responsibility begins with God's sovereignty. That's where it begins. Our responsibility begins with his sovereignty. Mankind is accountable to God as creator. Mankind stands or falls according to how he or she measures up to their responsibility to God. He is our measuring stick. He has given us responsibility, and how we measure up to that, we are accountable to him. There is no end to God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty is infinite as he is infinite. Adam did not keep his responsibility, and sometimes I failed at keeping my responsibility. So when we fall, we are under his judgment. But God, in his sovereignty, met the condition of mankind's failure through his son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile our position before him. those who place their faith in him can change their position. Hebrews 10:14. For by a single offering, he has perfected all time those who are being sanctified. So by that single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. In God's sovereignty, Christ presented his blood as an atoning sacrifice for those who place their faith in him, perfects their position before God. That atoning sacrifice perfects our position before God. for those who place their faith in him. The reconciliation and sanctification of God's elect is within God's sovereign will and his good pleasure. Remember, all that God does is right. Romans 9:18. So then, he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whom he wills. As a sovereign, supreme ruler of all creation, no one can question what he does. There have been some who have. Job, Hosea, Malachi question it, but there are none who can question what he does. Because we need to remember, all that God does is right. All that God does is right. Whether he shows mercy or doesn't show mercy, all that God does is right. Thank you. Isaiah 53. This is a tricky one for me, especially if you read it in the New American Standard. What I have here is the ESV. In the New American Standard, it says that the Lord was pleased to crush him. But as it reads, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. But his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. You catch what it's saying there? That the sovereignty of God and his plan for correcting or allowing us to stand in position to stand before him, it was his will to crush his own son to be that atoning sacrifice. And in the New American Standard, it says that pleased God, because God does everything according to his will and according to his pleasure. So it pleased God. It was his will to sacrifice his son to correct the position for those who put their trust in him before him. And all that God does is right. For my finite mind, it's hard for me to think about causing my son to suffer for the benefit of others. For God to cause his son to suffer, and that brings pleasure, it's hard for my finite mind to wrap around. But all that God does is right. It was God's sovereign will for Christ to suffer. It was God's sovereign will for Christ to die. It was God's sovereign will for him to shed his blood and then take that blood into heaven before God's throne as that perfect sacrifice. It was God's sovereign will to raise Christ from the tomb that we might have life in him and be in good standing before God. As Romans 9:18 says, so then, he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. And all that God does is right. So for us today, the challenge for us, the challenge for us as individuals, in the sphere of your life, who's sitting on the throne? In the sphere of your life, is God sitting on the throne? Are we yielding to his direction? Or have we placed ourselves on the throne? In the sphere of our life, are there compartments that God has, we've yielded control to, and other parts we're hanging on to? In the sphere of our life, who's sitting on the throne? Remember, God always does what is right. What he has provided for us, it was right. It was at his will and his good pleasure. Hard for me to comprehend, but it was right. Before our last song here, let's stand. Let's pray. Father, as we are before you this day, Lord, as we worship you in your majesty, Father, as we thank you and praise you for sending your Son, and Lord, it was at your will and your pleasure that he was crushed, he suffered, he died. Lord, and that it was your sovereign will to raise him from death that we might have life. Father, as we surrender our hearts to you, Lord, as we yield to your will, Lord, that your will be done in us as your will is done in heaven. Father, we do lift up those within our body who are hurting, Lord, those who are ill, and ask, Lord, that you would touch, Lord, that you would draw them, that you would use the circumstances, that you would sanctify those circumstances in their lives as well, or in all of our lives, that you would sanctify those circumstances. Father, that we know that all that you do is right. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.